words. Right now, there is nothing to fix, nothing to solve, nothing to resolve, nothing to heal, nothing to strive for. Right now, in this moment, I am safe and everything is fine. Right now, in this moment, I am safe and everything is fine. I am simply here now. And now that we're here and present together in this moment, let's take that 18-inch journey from the head to the heart. And as you breathe, follow your awareness down from your head to your heart space and rest there. Imagine your heart expanding to include you in it. In your heart, you are valued. You belong. You are loved. You are whole. You are perfect in your humanness right now, just as you are. And as we rest in our heart space, let's know also that we are resting in the loving energy of God right now. And to really anchor in and feel God's presence even more, I invite you to silently contemplate the nature of God with these words. There is an undeniable energy that brings babies into the world and causes trees to grow. It's a life-giving source energy called God. That same energy that underlies all that I see, feel, and touch is inside me now. It supports my every breath, my every beat of my heart, and when I let it, it transforms the way I live and love. I now choose to turn away from my insecurities, doubt, or fear. I now choose to reconnect myself to the love of God within me now. Love lives inside me. And right now, I let love win. Allow yourself to feel your connection to the divine now, letting love be love inside you. And as you take another deep cleansing breath, let's go even deeper as we commune with the divine. I invite you to take these words into meditation. The power and love of God is continually flowing through my veins. I am unlimited and connected to the source of all that is. That means I am an infinite being. I am unlimited. I am eternal. I am bigger than any challenge I face. I am stronger than my past. I am whole despite any physical, emotional, or mental challenge I may be experiencing. I know that my soul's blueprint for me is bigger and richer than I could have ever imagined, and I trust in that bigger picture now. I trust the process of life. I trust that I am exactly where I need to be on my life's journey. I trust that everything I am experiencing is somehow for my highest growth and good. I choose to see that every challenging moment is an opportunity for me to heal, grow, or rise. I let go of my struggle. I let go of my victim story. I let go so that I can let the love of God within me guide me to all the good I so richly deserve. I am at peace, and all is as it should be. And I'm now going to be silent for a brief moment as you commune with God in silent prayer.
My Lord, what a morning. 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 Morning.
everybody this morning. It's good to see you all, and it's good to be seen and not viewed. Before I start, I feel like this morning I want to do it in the tradition of our ancestors, for a little libation, and ask our senior member, Evelyn, are you here? Where are you, Evelyn? Do we have permission to proceed? Thank you, Evelyn. Today, we begin again by rebirthing ourselves, renourishing ourselves, and reminding ourselves of how great we all are. Today we begin again with each breath, each step, each word, each thought, each challenge, each tear, each heartbeat. The past is gone. Today is now. We cross over as brothers and sisters united in word and prayer and song and life. There is only now, this very moment. Today, we begin again. Thank you, my brother. The year was 1939, and Marian Anderson was ready for her chance to sing in Washington, D.C.'s Constitutional Hall. The stage was set, the word was out, the African-American contralto from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, had been preparing for months. She had already been the first at Carnegie Hall in 1928, but this was different. This was going to be national, international recognition. The concert never happened. She was denied access to this honored privilege. As a young child, Marian Anderson was the eldest of three sisters. She sang at school assemblies, she sang in her church choir, and all those Saturday events, you remember those Saturday events? You know how they always call up the kid who can sing or play an instrument? Well, Marian was the one. Wherever there was an opportunity for her to sing, there she was. Her father, John, witnessing his daughter's daily singing and vocalizing through their home, saved up enough money to purchase a piano for Marian. And because the family could not afford to, you know, have the piano and to pay for her lessons, Marian taught herself how to play the piano. Once she learned to read music, she would learn all four parts in any given song that the choir was practicing: soprano, alto, tenor, and bass with precision. She had quite a range. Her parents couldn't seek formal training for Marian, but the members of her church raised $500, which was a lot of money in the early 1900s, for Marian to begin voice lessons. Lifting her voice to sing took Marian to the front lines of never befores. Never before in all of her life has she been denied the chance to sing and to bless others with her amazing talent. So not being able to sing at Constitutional Hall because there was supposedly no room on the schedule for her was devastating for Miss Anderson and for her followers, and for those who had heard of her but had never had the chance to hear her sing. My Lord, what a morning when the stars began to fall. Or any of the other songs that she was known for singing. An uproar of protests began. Protesters insisted that the DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution, the group responsible for denying her the chance to sing, change their policy, which did not allow people of color the chance to sing. And that was the real reason that Marian Anderson did not perform at Constitutional Hall as scheduled. Finally, The morning came when First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt and a few others broke rank with the Daughters of the American Revolution and urged officials to proceed with arrangements for Marian Anderson to sing on the steps of Lincoln Memorial. It was Easter Sunday, April 9th, 1939. Marian was 42 years old. She sang on the steps of Lincoln Memorial in front of a crowd of 75,000 people. Her riveting performance on that unforgettable Easter Sunday was broadcast live to millions of people across the country. As she sang, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," and "Ave Maria." My sisters and my brothers, you have no idea how the unexpected miracles that surround you will elevate you to a place that you had no idea you were going to in the first place. So please, let's not forget to practice and participate in activities or create brand new activities that bring joy to your soul, activities that bring peace to your mind. Whatever your soul says yes to is a move in the right direction. Talk show host Hoda Kotb was at an event I recently attended, and she shared with the audience a quote someone had given her a while back. She said, "The way you spend your days is the way you spend your life." So if you want to change your life, add something, one thing perhaps to your daily routine. Do you want to eat more balanced meals? Do you want to finish your book? Do you want to finish that documentary on that subject you're so passionate about? Do you want to travel? Do you want to check in more on the ones you love? Do you want to find a new love? Do you want to heal old wounds you've been carrying along for way too many years? Whatever you decide to do, do it with joy. You can save your life with joy. Joy tells the cells and atoms in your body that you intend to be alive and that you are on purpose. No one has the power to switch off the power of possibilities arising in you. Nobody has the power to sling the harshest of words upon you and tell you who or what you'll never become unless you give them that power. You have no idea at all who you are becoming, so how could somebody else know? We give away our power in relationships. We give away our power to family members. We give it away in fear. We give it away because we don't trust the God or the goddess that lives and breathes within us every moment of every day. The power that awakens us, the power that cares for us and guides us when we lose our way. When I was first asked to speak like this here at Unity, I was scared. I said no quite a few times. And then I was given an ultimatum, Barbara Raven style. I was fine with singing with the choir and making an occasional announcement, but one Sunday after making an announcement, recapping one of the retreats I'd been on, Paul gave me a compliment. Why did he do that? I was okay just the way I was, but he mentioned something about me being a speaker or a minister or something like that. I backed away so far from his words, I had no idea where I was going. Anyway, I got the call, the Barbara Raven call, and for those of you who never had the opportunity to meet Barbara Raven, well, let me introduce you to the part of her that I vividly remember. She was short on stature and big on attitude. If she said it, she meant it. And even if she didn't say it, if she looked at you with those eyes, you knew what her spirit was saying. And most of us did not really have the nerve to tell her no. Not even me. Well, Barbara Raven, the Barbara Raven, left a message on my answering machine. And even though she was known for giving you a hand on her right hip, peace of mind, and curse you out with words you had never heard of before, She was very sweet and gentle when she called to leave a message, giving me a deadline as to whether or not I would indeed speak up here in front of all of you in August of 2009. I mean, I'd spoken and performed in other places, in churches and concert halls, you know, everywhere, but not right here in front of you. I mean, Britt had asked me to sing a solo once, and then very patiently and gently, after hearing me read a poem in memory of our friend, member of Spiritus, y'all remember Find His Wine, Eric, Deep Chocolate, Mahogany, Piece of Life, Eric, whew. Britt, after hearing me do a poem in his memorial, asked me to do a spoken word piece with the band. But he gave me time to breathe and to mill over it and to twiddle my thumbs, and then I had the chance to just chill because I was behind the mic and behind the music and behind the choir. I know it appears to most of you that I never ever doubt myself or my ability to grow, but I am still growing up, just like every single one of you. So anyway, back to Barbara. I listened to her voicemail so many times over and over again. Why was she giving me a deadline? I could just say, oh, I'll be out of town. Oh, sorry, I'm doing a show. Oh, I'm not available on that Sunday, like I had done all the other times, but this time was different, and I was petrified. Why did Paul say in front of everyone that I had ministerial qualities when I was only given an announcement about how great one of our retreats had been? How dare he and Barbara and Britt begin to see qualities in me that I had surely overlooked and not welcomed forth? What was I to do? Well, what do I always do? I called my sister Molly, knowing that she would give me the total and complete truth without sugarcoating it. Anyway, she answered the phone like she always did. Hey, baby, I'm so happy to hear your voice. How you doing? What's happening in New York, girl? I know you're looking good, sugar. Molly, they called me and asked me to speak. I don't know why they called on me, Molly. Finally, Molly, in all of her wisdom, said to me, Gail. I said, yes. She said, didn't you tell me a few weeks ago you had written a speech or a talk or a sermon or something? Yeah. Well, what's the use of writing something if you're not going to use it? Yeah. Gail, did you hear me? Yeah. So this is what I suggest. Do it. If you hate it, never do it again. If you love it, keep on doing it. Okay? Talk to you later. Love you, sweetie. Molly! Click, she was gone. I called Barbara Raven back right before my deadline and said, yes. 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 So I urge you this morning to say yes to something that you've always said no to. Say yes. When someone you love and trust peeks over into the vast ocean of who you are becoming and beckons you forward into an area of your being that you had no idea was waiting for your permission to emerge. It might be your place of work. It might be the place where you live. It might be a phone call that you're going to receive tomorrow morning. It might be the project that you've been talking about for the last 5 years. Say yes. Try it at least once. In 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and the 9th verse, the Apostle Paul says, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for us. In Gerald G. May's book titled The Wisdom of Wilderness, he talks about something in him feeling wrong or unsteady when he was second-guessing himself or thinking that he had to do so much more or to be so much more. But here he touches on finding the balance as he prepares for a camping trip in the wild. He says, I simply took a deep breath. I had been looking forward to the trip for a couple of weeks, and as I took care of the final details, I felt like a child inside, jumping with expectancy. I remember marveling at my excitement, not sure what I thought was going to be so wonderful. I wasn't really expecting anything specific. The excitement was the simple feeling of rightness in responding to a call I had ignored for a very long time. I suppose you can tell that something is really right when you feel such a sense of interior exuberance of, oh yes, this is it. He goes on to say, I know there's more to spiritual discernment than good feelings, but if the exuberance goes deep enough, it doesn't matter what your rational mind has to say about it. It's like a homecoming, something lost being found, a feeling that makes your inside shimmer with rightness. And if you don't say yes to it, you yourself feel wrong and a little less alive. My friends, let's not underestimate our magnificence. No one can make us or break us into our own. It is our own thinking that makes it so. No one can make us. No one can break us. It's our own thinking that makes it so. Remember, back in the day before we knew better, we said things we didn't mean. We signed up for college when we didn't even want to go. Or we signed up for courses we were not even all that much interested in, just so the whole family could say, oh, wow, great choice. I signed up to be a business major. Then I switched to psychology, then social work, and then back to business. I played ping pong with my curriculum because I was afraid of admitting that I was an artist, a creative being. Before college, I allowed my sisters to submit my writings to our high school newspaper, but only if they promised, and I mean promised with hands on the Bible, that they would not use my name. Finally, in undergrad school, by the grace of God, I landed myself in an acting class and realized that all of that shifting and changing of majors and minors was to satisfy someone else's version of who they thought I should be. The worst part is, no one ever said, don't sign up for theater. It was my interpretation of what I thought others wanted of me. It wasn't them, it was me who had no idea that I was trying my best to stay away from the things that brought me pure joy. Theater, creativities, shapes, sizes, colors, costume sets, upstage, downstage, center stage, the curtains, the lights, the sound, memorizing lines and choreography, and developing my inner monologue and subtext. But the biggest lesson for me was when I went to grad school, not letting other people upstage me. For some reason, I didn't know that just because someone stood behind me that I didn't have to turn my back to the audience for them to be seen. That I could hold my space and gaze off in the distance and listen and have a good conversation with another actor without giving my whole self away. I used to believe I had to turn to someone upstage and be totally attentive until one day a director shouted out, stop letting him upstage you. Church, I'm speaking directly to you from my heart today. Let's stop letting ourselves be upstaged by our doubts, by our anxieties, by our fears. They're not running this show. Let's not let the past upstage the future. I was recently walking to the subway and passed by two men who looked as though they had a really good day drinking down some substance. I mean, they were feeling no pain. They were both just chilling until something happened. And the exchange and the energy changed, and one of them said to the other, man, get lost, and crossed to the other side of the street, leaving his buddy behind. And the other man did not hesitate and swiftly replied, man, you can't tell me where to go. I'ma be where I'm at. I was eavesdropping, and it was none of my business, that exchange stayed with me. I'ma be where I'm at. Feels good, say it. I'ma be where I'm at. I'ma be where I'm at. I'm gonna stand my ground. I'm gonna do the things that call me forth for myself to do what I came to this planet to achieve. And like one of those great songs they sang during the civil rights movements, ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking and keep on talking and walking all over this land. You know that saying that we say, and we say it off the cuff sometimes, but I'm going to swing it in a different direction this morning. You know how you say, you know, you better recognize, you better recognize. But I'm going to say it like this to you this morning. You better recognize that no matter what's going on out there, it's what's going on in here that matters. Yeah, a lot has changed over these last few weeks. But there's nothing that's going to change your spiritual navigational system. Let me tell you something, honey. You're in the driver's seat. Continue to drive in the direction of your highest good. Don't let all the chatter and all the news blasts sway you away from your divine inheritance as a citizen of this vast universe. You have no idea what the Holy Spirit has for you. But if you stop in the middle of the valley, you're never going to know. We got to strap on our boots and stand up for ourselves and for our children and for our children's 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 children. If you're waiting for anyone or everyone to approve of your life, you'll be waiting forever. So don't waste your time asking others to approve of you. They don't have the power to give you permission to be yourself. But you do. Please, stop giving away your power. Please, stop giving away your joy. Please, stop giving away your laughter. Stop giving away the wisdom that you inherited from your ancestors, including your elder brother, JC. And I hope that doesn't offend anybody, okay? Because it's all in just telling the truth. Even Jesus and all of his perfection missed the mark sometimes too. Yes, he walked on water. Yes, he came strutting down the road and around the corner and told Lazarus to rise up and to walk. And he did. But he also cursed that fig tree out until it died. And you know it was somebody right there standing right there saying, now Jesus, you know better. And at that moment, Jesus looked at the shivering, dying tree and realized the power of his words. He didn't stop and punish himself and not fulfill what he came to accomplish. He kept on living and learning and healing and making wine and drinking the wine that he made and telling stories and reminding us that all things are possible. Amen. Ornette Coleman, a jazz musician, says it like this. It was when I found out that I could make mistakes that I was on to something. In theater, there's an improvisation where you freeze in a position for a short period of time to create a statue. Some of you have probably done it before. You say, make a statue of the last day of school in June, or make a statue of the first day of school in September. Or make a statue of a kid that gets caught stealing money from his parents' wallet. Okay? But sometimes in life, we get paralyzed in a statue of disappointment. A statue of, I had my heart broken so many times, I can't even count them anymore. That's when you have to be on a mission to revive yourself. Not just sometimes, all of the time. There is more to you that you are not giving yourself credit for. There is more of you yearning to be recognized. recognized and upheld with grace. We can say all the prayers and affirmations that we want to. However, if we don't have a spirit of expectancy, I mean great expectancy, if we don't open the doors of possibilities every single morning of every single day, how can we make room for the more? Allow yourself to say yes again. Don't you remember when nothing can get in the way of your ideas? Remember when you would just wake up with an idea or a project and you just went for it? You wrote it down just like that scripture in Habakkuk 2:2. You wrote the vision and you made it plain upon the tablets and you got your crew together and you got it done. There was no room for doubt to seep in through the crevices of your dreams. Eyes have not seen. Your ears have not heard all that has been prepared for you. We have no idea when the unexpected yet totally welcome miracles in our lives will occur. Remember Wilma Rudolph? Well, you know she was born weighing only 4 pounds and something. She was a very sickly child. And she was diagnosed with polio, and she wore a brace on her leg. But do you know that her parents found out about massage? So her mother taught all of the children in the family how to massage Wilma's left leg, it was so bad at times that she was in a wheelchair, and other times she wore the brace. But do you know that she was the first American woman to win 3 gold medals in a single Olympic in track and field? She was nicknamed Skeeter, and she was deemed the fastest woman runner in the whole world. Every obstacle or seeming obstacle shows up for you to climb over it, to walk through it, or to rise above it. Marian Anderson, she had no idea that she would end up traveling the world, singing in Austria, Germany, Scandinavia, South America. She had no idea that she was setting the stage for the civil rights movement. She had no idea that she would live to be more than 100 years old, almost 100 years old, excuse me. She sang at Carnegie Hall. She sang at Metropolitan Opera. She sang for Kennedy's inauguration and Eisenhower's too. And in 1991, she received the Lifetime Achievement Award, Grammy Award. She was a powerful, powerful woman. And she tended to the garden of her soul. When you, all of you, every single one of you, and yes, I'm talking to you, when you walk into this place on Sunday mornings, you are part of our togetherness. You matter to us. That hug you get the moment you walked in is just for you. The book you buy from the shelf or the Daily Word has a word in it just for you. Every smile you get is the smile you're supposed to get. The bottom note that Clyde plays on that bass is for you. The sound that climbs out of a Yodelay's guitar is for you. The purposefulness of Ray tickling those ivories is for you. The rhythm of Brian hitting that cymbal and keeping the beat is just for you. The voices are singing the songs for you, and the message being messaged through the messenger is just for you. All of this is just our way of saying that we're setting the stage and welcoming you downstage to the center of your life. And as you can see now, I'm surrounded by some of the beautiful women that are part of our women's ministry. Can we give these beautiful women a hand this morning? women's group was one of those, "Are you asking me to do something again?" moments. But again, I said yes. I didn't know which train I was getting on, I didn't know where the train was going. But let me tell you something, we have done some magnificent